Hi there, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial, bringing you things to keep you awake. Awake, awake, awake. Hey, you know, Osho, this week we had done a program, or done a series of programs on wakefulness and sleeping. On sleeping, actually, we did sleep, and then we did nightmares, and dreaming, and what that was all about. So if you missed that, you could always go to the WBAI.org and get the, access the archives. Today, I want to talk about something that's different than that, but the same. I want to talk about wakefulness. Hey, what's the most used of all drugs in the world? What do you think it is? Of all drugs in the world, what do you think is the single greatest pharmaceutical, most used pharmaceutical in the whole world? Do you know what it is? Caffeine. Yep. Caffeine, which keeps people awake. Well, here's the question we have. We know now what it is to sleep, and we know now why people sleep and why people don't sleep. We know why people have nightmares, and we know why people have dreams. We've kind of covered that a little bit. Today, I want to talk about why people are awake. Here's an interesting thing. Another good Italian scientist. Anyway, there was an Italian scientist who did. Is this an Italian scientist? It looks like a French name to me. Jouvet. It doesn't look Italian to me. It was done in Italy, huh? All right. Anyway, the work. Here's the work. Here's a question he asks. The first and most important question we have to ask is this. Does the nervous system possess a specific sleep-producing mechanism? In other words, should we not rather confine our research to the operations of the mechanism that keeps us awake? Is sleeping our default? Do we just want to sleep all day and then we wake ourselves up? Or do we want to be awake and we fall asleep? Now think of this as a question for a moment. Do you wake yourself up or are you awake? And when you go to sleep, do you go to sleep or do you go to that natural state which is beckoning you, that place which is saying, come on back home? Well, that's very important because if we consider it that way, if we consider the difference between whether or not we want to be awake or we want to be asleep, sometimes you feel like you're fighting yourself. Sometimes you feel like you're awake, but you're fighting yourself. So let's talk about states of consciousness. Let's talk about a few different things related to this. First of all, states of consciousness. There are two things that we've learned about wakefulness that's very important. We know that wakefulness and feeling awake has a lot to do with body temperature. There's an ideal body temperature that makes you feel more awake than another body temperature. If you're overheated or underheated, you can get hypothermia. Hyperthermia can make you sleepy. Because your body wants to conserve, and it wants to conserve energy. Wakefulness is usage of energy. So we have body temperature, and then we have circadian rhythm. Ah, circadian rhythm. What a thing. I've been studying this for years. Circadian rhythm is described as having the ability to automatically go into rhythms without being dependent on the outside environment. So in other words, you have circadian rhythms. If it's dark outside, you don't automatically fall asleep. Your body has its own rhythm. And in your body rhythm, the body rhythm will dominate. Like trees have rhythms. Like plants have rhythms. They first observed this in some of the 1500s with the mimosa trees. They looked at the mimosa tree kind of woke up at a certain time and went to sleep at another time, regardless of what the light was doing outside. It isn't that trees just turn themselves to the sun. They have cycles that are based on the actual cycle of the tree, not the cycle of the sun. However, our circadian rhythms all change every day as the days get longer and shorter. So we have a circadian rhythm that shifts. As we get closer to the summer, we stay awake longer. You see? Now wait then, but then that says it's dependent on light. No, we have a moving circadian rhythm. It's not always the same. Did you ever notice that you feel more awake when you're on vacation? Or less awake when you're on vacation? When your environment is different? When the atmosphere is different? When the stresses are different? Waves, brain waves. You've heard enough about alpha waves, beta waves, gamma waves. Let's talk about them for a minute. Alpha waves are the type of brain waves that you have when you're awake. Your eyes may be closed, but you're awake. It's basically awareness, creative energy, alpha waves. Alpha-centered being helps you tap your creativity. They're excellent for problem solving. Alpha is the home of the Schumann resonance, you know, the resonant frequency of the Earth's electromagnetic field. You kind of, you know, when you're in alpha, you're matching the Earth's electromagnetic field. It's a form of being awake, alert. See, now this is what we're looking for. We're looking for alertness. And we're going to talk about people who are never alert, people who are sleepy. Beta waves are kind of the states that are associated with normal waking consciousness. And it's like you're wide awake, you're alert, you're sharp, you're focused, you do quick connections. Beta waves seem to move at a faster speed. You know, you're moving at a faster speed. You are a beta person. So if you're an alpha person, you're kind of awake and alert. But if you're beta, you're in action. The beta state is associated with peak concentration, heightened alertness, hand-eye coordination, visual activity, beta, right? Okay. So now what's the difference between alpha and beta? Alpha, you're a little awake. Beta, you're very awake. Delta. Delta is characterized by frequencies that kind of relate to deep sleep, right? Long, slow, undulating. Deep sleep, delta is the brainwave signal of the subconscious, the seat of which intuition arises. A delta wave is a deep sleeping place that you go into. So you have three places now you can be. You could be at any point in consciousness. You could be alpha. You could be beta. And you could be delta. But then there is theta and gamma, isn't there? So now we're going to skip for a moment and go back to gamma waves. Gamma waves are involved in the higher mental activity, transient periods of synchronized firing over the gamma wavelength. So gamma waves are there at the same time. That's very, very active. But theta frequency activity is kind of like when you're asleep and you go into a deeper sleep. That's theta activity. No? Meditation, that's right. The deep meditative state is a theta state, is like a sleep state, but it's kind of like you're awake. You're in that kind of deep, relaxed place. So you have all of these potentials for your brain waves. Your brain waves move, and according to your brain waves, you're going to be more or less alert, more or deeper in relaxation. So we have brainwave patterns, we have chemistry, we have caffeine, we have circadian rhythms. So we have a whole bunch of things that are determining whether you're awake or not. How much sleep did you get last night? That's a good one for you. What if you didn't sleep very well? How awake are you today? And have you ever met people who are sleepy? Now, sleepy people generally will be working at counters and checkout counters. There's a thing about checkout counters that makes you kind of perfect for a sleepy person. And you may know sleepy people, and we'll talk about this. You go to a county, you check out your groceries, you're in a hurry, you got a bag, you got to go home and feed the kids, and the person who is the attendant is in some kind of a wave. They're in some kind of a place in their brain. They're in a rhythm. They have no sense of urgency. Their eyes are half shut. It's like a half mast, you know? And that they're kind of moving through, and they're just, in their mind, they're getting through the day. Now you would say to yourself, ah, this is because it's a boring job. No. This is because of who they are. You see, it's best for movies, for movie counters and checkout counters, to have a sleepy person because they are methodical. They don't get excited and they don't get distracted. So you'll find generally working in movie theaters, or when, you know, you ever try to buy your tickets to a movie and the movie's about to start and there's somebody with sleepy eyes moving at a very slow pace and you want to say, wake up, give me my ticket so I can go see my movie. And no, nice, calm, I'm in my rhythm. I'll do it at my pace. I'll do it slowly. Oh, the machine is stuck. I got to replace the tape. You know, when you're in a hurry, I got to replace the tape now. Excuse me. And they have to replace the tape. This line is closed, right? After you've been waiting for it, of course, they have to replace the tape because that's their mind. So we have different kinds of minds. We have minds that are hyper alert. You know, you have different kinds of people who are so anxious, like they're manic. Manic is a word that means very, very active, very busy. Hyper is another word that means a person who is very kind of nervous and moving very fast. And then you have sleepy. And we have depressed. And depressed is another state of consciousness, another state of wakefulness. How do you do depression? How do you go through? It's like you're moving through in molasses. You know, it's a molasses kind of a wakefulness. You're awake, but you're depressed, and the depression is a weight on you, and you got to push through it. And every effort you make takes more effort to just go from here to the refrigerator. You know, it takes a lot of effort. So that's another state of wakefulness, which is called depression. So we have depression. And then we have the hypermanics. We have manic people who are moving so fast they can't stop. They are wired. And then we have people who are on drugs. Oh, my gosh, almighty. You know, cocaine is a classic example of a manic kind of a drug. People who take cocaine, you know, people who take cocaine, in effect, have completely challenged their clock, their circadian rhythms, their biological clock. They are now, the drug is taken away, all of the natural reactions on the inside, and you're just moving fast and sharp. Another one that does it is steroids. Steroids, a person on steroids has a kind of sharpness to it, an edge to them, and they have a kind of a speed that they're moving. And if you think of what steroids are, cortisol, in effect, it's the effect of putting cortisol in your body. You have this kind of thing that's a survival mechanism. So super fast people are like hunters, and they're like desperate people. They're defending themselves. They've got to get through the world. Super slow people are depressed, and not only depressed, but sleepy. Now, why do I talk about sleepy? I saw a young man one day. He said to me, I said, what's your dad like? And he said, my dad is immovable. Nothing challenges my dad. Nothing makes him move. Nothing excites him. Nothing. He's always this kind of there guy. And if you tell him anything, he just won't move. Nothing shocks him. And his dad is a sleepy guy. And instead, I said, what's your mom like? He said, my mom, everything excites her. Everything makes her upset, no matter what I do. If I drop something, she jumps and screams at me. So now, if you're a little boy, if you're young, this was a 12-year-old boy, and you look out there in life, you have these two forms of wakeful existence. The one form that doesn't budge, and the other form that's always moving. Where do you go? What do you do? You try to find your own balance in the middle of that, and it's usually finding that balance that makes people get very nervous and frustrated, and children become very neurotic because they just don't know what is my rhythm. So when I was younger, I had a case, Herb. Herb came to me for treatment. And Herb was what we call psychotic. He was completely, he had paranoid delusional fantasies, and he just believed the following. He believed that he was a rock singer. And he was Wingate Stillwater III was the name he had for his rock singer. And his rock singer used to play rock music, but a thing happened when he was playing on stage in his fantasy. Alexandra of Nicholas and Alexandra would come visiting him, and she would come visiting with, I remember this very well, Paul Newman. No, Robert Redford. Robert Redford used to bring her in, and she was in a wheelchair. So in his fantasy, so he would, now this is what he would think all day long. Now during the day, by the way, he was a loom operator. He operated a sewing machine. So this is all going on in his mind while he's operating his loom. So in his fantasy, he is thinking that he's Wingate Stillwater III with his guitar, rock guitar. He's standing there, and she comes walking in with Robert Redford wheeling her in. And she looks at him, and he strikes bad chords. And then she kind of, in disgust, walks away, and that depresses him. And the reason he came to see me is because he couldn't stand disappointing Alexandra of Nicholas and Alexandra. Now, in case you think I'm making this up, you know, when you do psychotherapy for so long, this is part of it. You know, you maybe have been watching in treatment on television, and you see these cases of these kind of benign neuroses. But sometimes people's minds get very complicated. Herb's mind was very complicated. He really wasn't this Wingate Stillwater, but he made it up in his mind. So I said to Herb, now I, having been a drummer in my youth, I said, Wingate, you know what's wrong with you? You don't have a good rhythm section. I said, you don't know when you're going out of rhythm, and that's why you keep playing the bad notes. And he says, well, of course I don't have a rhythm section. I said, well, I'm a drummer. I said, and what I'm going to help you do is keep your rhythm intact. And so we would talk in terms of rhythms. And he would talk about things he would do in the course of a day. And I would say, are you in rhythm or out of rhythm? What kind of rhythm is that? What kind of speed are you going through? And we did. We literally cured him using this rhythm metaphor. Rhythm is an important part of our lives. Rhythm is so much a part of our lives that dance has become our greatest form of entertainment. Movement is so vitally important. You know, we dream about it when we're asleep. But being awake, an amazing thing. Being awake is great. Being awake and not crazy is great. Being awake and being alert and calm. What an ideal condition. Can you picture that? I want you to feel it. I mean, many of you feel it all the time. Alert and calm. Put the two together. What a wonderful combination. Boy, is that knowing. Boy, is that solid. It's almost like everybody else who's not calm and alert, is there something wrong with them? Because they're running around, you know, they're doing too much or they're not doing anything at all. So what is wakefulness? What is being awake? Well, I think being awake is being aware of everything at one time. And yet not being so aware that it's invasive or that you can't get away from it. So if you walk down the street and you're very aware, you see somebody walking down the street with you, you notice them, but you're not just driven to see them. If you see commercials on the billboards, the billboards don't necessarily invade your mind, but you do notice them. You will notice a flower sitting on a desk in front of you. You will be present. You will be here primarily. And here with a consciousness that gives you kind of an alert awareness of everything around you. A beautiful state of being no matter where you are. Because you're aware of yourself as well. And at the same time as you're alert and aware, you're aware of the people around you. You don't close them out. And your thoughts aren't racing into regrets from the past or fears of the future. You know, most fear is about the future. And the regrets are always the past. And your mind doesn't keep going back with what happened. Or where am I going? Or what am I doing? Or what'll I do? you're here. That's truly awake. All other states are a form of asleep. Because when you're worried about the future, you're dreaming, in effect. You know, it's a dream. It's like someday, you know? So this is Armand DeMille with you at the Positive Mind. Your wakefulness is my question. Why are some people so sleepy? It's almost like there are cultures that are sleepy. You know, you kind of look and you'll see. I know whenever I go visiting, you know, if I go somewhere down, there are places where people are just take it easy, you know, lay back. Everything is laid back. Let's not speed it up. Let's not move too fast. You know, if you think about the difference between some South American countries and Israel or somewhere in the East, it's like totally different rhythms. People live and move at different times. Now, but what does it do for you? What does it mean? Does it mean that if you're used to basking in the sun, you tend to be sleepy? That may be it. It may be that if you grow up in a culture that has more sun available, and that you grow up in a, that sets your kind of rhythm so that you're sleeping in the sun during the day. They have siesta, right? During the day, it's like in the warmer climates, the hotter temperatures, you know, maybe that makes you more sleepy. Because sleep is integrated into your wakefulness. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's a cultural phenomenon. Maybe it's a psychological phenomenon. Psychological because there's something you don't want to be awake to. Sometimes sleepy people just want to be asleep because they don't want to know and see what's going on. How many cases are there of abuse, child abuse, that involves one parent being sleepy while the other parent is being abusive? The parent who is being sleepy doesn't want to see, doesn't want to know what's going on. So sleeplessness and being being dull, being numb, being sleepy defends you against having to take action. People who are sleepy generally don't take too much action for themselves. In fact, I'll take it one more step. People who are numb, sleepy, lazy, and I don't mean that pejoratively. I mean it just, you know, the tendency not to want to move, not to want to get up, not to want to do things. I think they're afraid of one thing in general. I think they hate anger. I think that they are so against getting angry that they tone down their whole lives. They tone down their mind. They tone down their body. They tone everything down. So if you're looking at them, they're mad. But they don't feel mad. You see, feeling mad is a terrible thing. If you're somebody who's a sleepy person, you hate anxiety. You hate getting angry. You can't stand that part of yourself. And a lot of you listening know that about yourself. You just can't stand the feeling. So you stay half asleep. You stay half awake. And while you're half awake, you can't feel anger. People who are sleepy don't like anger. People who are not sleepy don't mind anger. Since I'm going to do it culturally, I'll go with my own culture, the Italian people. They shout at each other all the time. There's anger right and left. Not that it's healthy or anything good about it, but it's not sleepy. It's not like toned down. And the funny thing about sleepy people is they're so easy to exploit. You'll find where there are islands, where there are people who tend to be sleepy, they are the most exploited islands. They're the people who can defend themselves the least and don't think of defending themselves. I'm familiar with a lot of those. So this is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. Now, what do we do about it? How do we do it? Of course, maximal health is great. We know that oxygen in the brain is a good thing. We know the more oxygen you keep going in the brain, the more alertness you have. We know dealing with your psychological fear of aggression and getting angry is an important thing. We know we want to maximize your thinking process. We know we do not want you to be spinning off your loose edges and getting too anxious and too nervous so you can think and you can function. Calm, alert. We should have a word for it, calert. you know, alarm. Oh, no, calm, alert would be alert. Alert, calm is alarm. What a funny combination. No, we want it the opposite. Calm and alert. I want you to be that way. I want you to be that way with each other. I want you to be that way when you look at things that happen in the world. I want you to be present when your kids need you with a calm alertness instead of a panic. Or when your kids do something you don't like, to have a calm presence. To be there, even if you have to be there firmly, but to have a calm alertness. I'm here. I'm with you. I want you to love each other with a calm alertness. I want you to hold somebody you love in your arms. I want you to look at them deeply in their eyes. And I want you to be there with them. Hold them. Embrace them. Love them. But be present. Don't be drifting off. Get them to know that you're there with them. And that's how you feel the love. That is such a valuable thing for people. It comes in calm alertness. Love doesn't come in hysteria. You know, the person who says to you, I'm going crazy. Why are you going crazy? Because I love him. I miss him. That's not where the love comes. The love comes in that feeling of connection. And the feeling of connection is so valuable, so intense, so beautiful, so spectacular, so out of this world that when you hold somebody you love in your arms and you hold them and you regard them and you regard them well and you know, you get them and you're there and you're present. It's not just sexual. It gets to being enormous, great, wonderful, beautiful, because that's a feeling of calm, alert, and now the new word is connected. See, calm, alert, and connected. Calm, alert by yourself, that's cool. Right? Make you master of the universe. Calm, alert, and connected. Oh, my gosh, that's really cool. Imagine, how often do you feel that? You could feel it with a best friend. You could feel it with your brother or your sister. You could feel it with a lover. But this is the state that we're looking for. Calm, alert, and connected. And the more calm, alert, connected people we see, the more ones we sense, the more we kind of stop and look. Even if you look at the leading politicians nowadays, I would ask you to look at the politicians and ask yourself, do I see calm? Do I see alert? Do I see connected? You'll find that if you look closely at the candidates, there's probably one staring at you right now who says, I've got just that. So we don't look at, if we look at somebody who's hysterical and energetic and yelling and saying, you know, that doesn't do it. That's not what's going to make this planet work as well. This is Armand DeMille with you at the Positive Mind. Calm, alert, connected to you as well. We're going to take your calls when we come back. Main thing I want you to do is to have the ideal state of being awake and then the ideal state of being asleep. What a nice thing. You know, all the way up there, awake, alert, calm, connected, sleep, beautiful, surrender, replenish. I will be back with you in a few minutes with a little special music for you, and then we'll take your calls.
Riding through the ruts.
Always nice to hear a little Bob Marley, huh? Wake up and live. Hey, if waking up is such a good idea and being awake is such a good idea, what does it do for you? Do you need to be awake for any good reasons? Is there anything that works out of it? I mean, why don't you just sleep all the time like a bear? You know what the bears do? They just got to replenish themselves. Not all the bears, but the bears that go into hibernation. You know, what a nice thing. I've been sleeping for 4 months. You know, woke up with Rip Van Winkle. What's wrong with that? Well, anyway, the idea here, Rip Van Winkle, there's a song we got to pull out. The idea of being awake is such a fabulous thing. Let's think about daydreams for a moment. Now, we talked yesterday about nightmares and how nightmares and disturbed dreaming may be a rehearsal for dealing in the world. It's a very interesting concept because if you think about it, when you have a nightmare, let's say you're up in a tree and you're somewhere on the Serengeti and you're trying to survive, but, you know, you're a primitive man and there you are and then you have a nightmare up in the tree. What does the nightmare do? You think about the lion that's coming to attack you. You get your spear. You're fighting it off. You're in rehearsal. So nightmares are rehearsal. And you can get the sense of nightmares being rehearsal for a danger that you anticipate you may have to face. Okay? That your body thinks you may have to face. Well, here's the other one, daydreams. Now, what are daydreams? You know, people who daydream, we have been long held daydreaming disrepute. We just said it's a sign of the lazy. In the late 1800s, Tony Nelson argued that daydreams with grandiose fantasies are self-gratifying attempts to wish fulfillment. But then another one, Jerome Singer, said, wait a minute. Maybe daydreams are rehearsal also. And they studied daydreams and they found among the most creative people, the greatest composers, daydream with their clues. That's what you do. Writers, daydream. How do you think you write? You sit back, you let your mind wander. So daydreaming is another way, another mechanism of these incredible human brains that we have to kind of get you to go to another place that you would like to be and possibly even rehearse for it. 212-209-2900 is our number here. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. We're going to be taking your calls today about wakefulness, being awake, being alert, and being connected. 212-209-2900. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi.
Hi.
Hi there.
My name is Alicia. You have awakened something that was deep sleeping for a long time in me, and that is the remembrance of my husband never looking me in the eye.
Yeah.
And part of it was because he had one eye that was kind of slightly cross-eyed, and I think. But it was also his shame at looking directly into someone's face.
Now you say shame. Was he actually didn't have a shame, or he just didn't do it? I mean, where did you get the interpretation?
Well, he didn't do it. You're right. It's not for me to interpret that. But what I felt was that he was, there was something about revealing oneself, looking directly in someone's eyes. I know a number of people who have trouble with that.
Yes, it's true. It's true.
And my son does the same thing. He doesn't look at you. In fact, when I asked him to look at me, he said, why did you tell me I don't want to do that? You know, he was really upset when I did that. So he just... He had unfortunately acquired the same habit his father had.
And the habit he has is to avoid looking directly.
Yes.
And it made you feel pain when you thought about it, huh?
Great pain.
See, now this is where I go to the word regard, and I want to talk about the word regard as I want to talk about love again, because I like talking about love. Love is regarding and being regarded. There's nothing, it seems to be in this precious world where we're so alone so often, so much time, to be seen by somebody and to be really seen and then to see somebody else is what seems to get all that chemistry going inside your body that makes you feel good. I remember when I was a kid, I went to school and we were studying French, and the first thing they said that we had to study was Regardez la neige, which meant look at the snow. But the word regardez really went on in my brain. I said, but that doesn't mean just look at the snow. It means regard it. What you're talking about is a husband who did not regard you. And if he did, he had to do it in some way other than the visual. What happened to your husband eventually? Oh, what a painful thing.
It was a long time ago.
Are you still angry at him?
Not really. I'm just very sad because my son has inherited that same thing.
Well, and does your son have any relationships?
Yes, he's on his third relationship. He had a divorce in the first and a second wife who died of cancer, and then he has in a relationship now with someone new.
Yeah, so he has difficulty looking into people's souls and regarding people and
yes.
having people regard him.
Yes.
Well, you sound like an awful loving person. You know, when you give it time, how old is he? Is he in his 30s at this point?
He's 50 and I'm 82.
You're 82?
Yeah, I know no one believes it because my voice is strong.
I believe it, if you say it. Alicia, you're amazing. And thank you for your consciousness. Boy, life has sure changed, huh?
And how?
Since 82. You know, the other day I took a photograph of a 14-year-old girl. I tell the story on the air. I have a Polaroid camera. And I like to photograph people because if it's okay with them, I photograph them. This way I remember them better than the notes I take. So a 14-year-old girl was in the office with me, and she was with her mother, and I said, can I take a picture? And she said, yes. And I took the photograph, and she looked at the Polaroid camera, and she said, that's so cool. I said, what do you mean that's so cool? She said, that's amazing. Where did you get that? Because she had never seen a Polaroid camera in her life.
Oh.
She's 14 years old. And I said, well, she said, that's who makes it? Thinking that it was the next generation of evolution. Boy, has that come around, huh?
Oh, God.
Thanks for calling, Alicia.
Thank you for all you do, Elman.
Sure. 212-209-2900. And then Polaroid announced that they're going out of business. Then Polaroid announced they're going out of the film business. So I quickly went around. I bought, if you look around, you'll see cartons of Polaroid film here. Because I like it. 212-209-2900, Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there. 212-209-2900. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, hello, Armin. This is George from New Jersey.
Hello, George.
I love to take a nap every day at work.
That's a big thing, yes. And is it something that you've always done?
I've always done it.
And how do you do it?
I put on the jazz station, and I love to hear the saxophone. The saxophone makes me tired.
Wow.
In fact, I have a case of tinnitus. I have ringing in the ears. And I have to listen to Charlie Parker or John Coltrane or, you know, whoever's on the jazz station. I have to hear the saxophone, even if it's on tape. If there's no good jazz music on the radio, I have to hear the saxophone in order to go to sleep.
So what happened to your father?
My father died of old age.
When was that?
10 years ago.
And how close were you to him?
Very close.
Very close, right?
Yes, because so, my mother and father split up. My mother...
you love your daddy. I could hear it.
Yes.
And you know what you do every time? I bet your dad liked that jazz, too.
My father was a long-time socialist. He really didn't get into music, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm. Did he ever listen to jazz at all?
He liked classical more than jazz.
Yeah. And were you ever with him when he listened to music?
I can only remember when I was a baby.
Yeah, so he had a lot of stress in his life, huh?
Yes, he came from Russia. His parents were murdered in front of his eyes when he was a little boy in Russia, and his grandmother brought him to the United States.
You know, yesterday we spoke to a woman who said that when she was a little child, she used to defend her family by sleeping up against the window because her mother and father got divorced, and she thought they would be a threat, so she stayed awake all the time. What you've developed is a habit, a way of taking you said you have tinnitus as well, but you've taken the instrument and you've incorporated it as a form of love. It's almost like somebody's holding you and that you take a nap every day and somebody puts their arms around you and they just say it's time for you. You know, and you get that advantage of it. You can, it lets you go. If you don't have the music, can you do it?
Very difficult. It has to be the saxophone, Armin. The saxophone, there's something about the saxophone. It's so soothing.
Sure.
The trumpet, a little bit. The piano, definitely not. But either the saxophone or the trumpet can really put me to sleep.
So let me ask you something. If you heard something like this... About,
yes,
George?
Yes, you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
That's the stuff.
Right.
That's
there.
The stuff. And I know you used to be a jazz musician yourself.
Well, what happens if you take this in right now? We'll let everybody else take it in with you. You're going to nap on me, or you're just going to stay connected?
Well,
because here's what I'm going to propose. I'm going to propose that you stay connected and stay awake with us.
I sure will.
And we'll do it together, okay?
Yes.
And the other people will listen, and they won't go to sleep either. And we'll take a minute with Ben Webster together, thanks to George. Stay with me, George. Hang in the phone. George, Tenderly by Ben Webster, which I think, if I had to pick my single very, very best tenor saxophone solo that I would listen to feed the very parts of me that you're talking about being fed, this would be my choice. You look it up.
I will.
You'll find it. Nice to be with you, George. Thanks for bringing us the gift.
You're welcome, Armin. Have a nice day.
Thank you. Knocking out Michael G. Haskins, who probably dozed off right there, listening in. Armand DeMille here with you with The Positive Mind, 212-209-2900. What a beautiful thing. Every opportunity I get. 212-209-2900. Let's take another one of your calls. That would be great. This is Armand DeMille talking about being awake, being alert, being alive, and being connected. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. How are you?
I'm great.
My name's Teresa. I'm from New Jersey.
Hello, Teresa.
And actually, in the near future, as soon as I schedule it, I'm going to be having a consult with you.
Hey, you bought a donation through WBAI. You made a donation?
I certainly did, yes.
Great.
And I'm
great.
Just dying to meet you. You're one of my favorite people.
So just call up the office. You know, if you made the donation, just call the office and make the appointment. Don't worry for us to process the thing.
No, I already got the letter, and I will call.
Great.
So I'm going to make it for April. So connected, being alive, I love it.
Yeah.
Being awake, alive, connected, alert.
And you've had times where you were just too disconnected and too unalive, right?
Yes, yes.
Would you go through a bad relationship?
I kind of went through a bad period in my life. It wasn't a relationship per se. It was just kind of everything. I was kind of unsatisfied in work, which I'm still kind of working on. I work in the medical profession, and I'm not quite sure how I like that anymore. And I just didn't feel good about myself, and I just kind of, with downsizing, I had lost a couple of jobs, and I kind of didn't know where I wanted to go in my life.
Oh, boy. So let me ask you something. What prevented your mother from giving you proper nurturance?
Oh, my mother was mentally ill.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, I think
you can hear it. You know, you can just hear
this. She was, but more depressed.
Yeah, and you see, that's what happens. You're a kid. You're a kid on the run. You're a kid who just didn't have the nurturance of a mother, and you could hear it. You're lost in this world, and so many kids, so many of us, feel lost in this world because there was no true nurturing there because the parent didn't have it. Like you said, your mother was mentally ill. And that makes it even additionally difficult for you to get along with women co-workers.
Pardon?
It makes it more difficult for you to get along with co-workers who are women.
You know what? You're absolutely right. It's amazing how you've picked up on this because I remember having a very, and in fact, even now, I belong to a group, and it's a church group, and it's a very good thing that we're doing. But there's actually somebody in the group that just annoys me for absolutely, I don't even know what reason.
You don't know why? She just irks you.
She drives me nuts. And I got an email from her, and we're making suggestions about what we want the theme of our retreat weekend to be. And I had suggested something which, you know, I thought was a very good idea, and a couple other people thought it was, and she sent me an email saying that, no, she didn't like it, and I thought to myself, how dare you?
Okay, so let me help you with this one, Teresa, just for a moment.
Sure.
Do me a favor and find me the similarity between this woman and your mother.
Probably because my mother was very controlling.
Yeah.
My mother always, I guess, tried to live her life through me. Like, she would tell me what to wear and what to do, and if I didn't do it, she would hold back either money or doing something, permission to do something. I always felt very controlled by her, but yet afraid not to do what she said.
Yeah.
And then when she would get crazy, it would get even worse, because then she would threaten to kill herself if I didn't do something. She would tell me she wouldn't be there, or, you know, I'll end my life, and then you won't have to put up with me anymore. So it was always that. So it was, even though I wanted to be out on my own and I wanted to make decisions, I was always afraid of what those consequences would be. You know, if you go out with your friends and you come home and she's dead, what do you do?
Sure. Sure. So there you are in that very same spot. And what happens is that you just can't recover from this. You are seeing this woman as being the same kind of person, and I fully understand it. You know, I fully understand it. It would be great for you to be able to get past it, and maybe when I get to see you, maybe we could push a couple of buttons and make that happen. Because you got to be free from this. It gets to a point where it consumes you, and you sound like a lovely person who has a lot to give in the world.
And I think I do. You know, I think it's just, at times I get stuck in this, and, you know, I know even with my husband there's things that I would rather not say, you know, even if it has to do with bills or whatever, because I'm kind of afraid of the reaction.
Yes.
You know, sometimes I have a difficulty standing up and saying, I know this is right and this is what I want, and I kind of get afraid of what the other person, what that reaction's going to be.
I hear you, and I thank you for calling in, Teresa. I look forward to seeing you.
Thank you, and I look forward to meeting you.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
212-209-2900. So what we're saying, my friends, is the following. We consider two states of sleep or three states of sleep. We consider being asleep or being insomniac and not being asleep, or trying to sleep and you can't go to sleep, or dreaming. And then we have dreaming, and then we have nightmares, and then we have brainwaves, and then we have circadian rhythms. And our poor little brains, I mean, we used to think it was just all that simple, and then we have these hormones and prolactin and cortisol rushing through our bodies, and we try to figure things out. We even figured out today that why somebody is a good kisser and why they're not a good kisser is dependent on how they smell, the smell of their breath. And it's not whether it's bad breath or good breath, but whether or not the breath is communicating the kind of pheromones that is indicating to your survival system that this is good for you. How complicated can we get? We used to think a kiss was just a kiss, when a kiss is only a kiss. But it's beautiful to learn. It's great to learn about ourselves. It's great to get information. And all I could tell you is I'm so happy that we're at this learning edge of the human mind. Because the more you learn, the better it's going to be and the easier it's going to be for you to be alert, to be calm, and to connect with the people around you. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. I will be back with you. I'll be back with you on Tuesday at 1 p.m. And I'm going to bring you, let me see, if I'm going to be back with you Tuesday at 1 p.m., I'll be back with you Tuesday at 1 p.m. And I will look forward to seeing you again. If you want a copy of today's program or you want to hear something of today's, you can go to the website, thepositivemind.com or WBAI.org. Here's some other music. That wasn't exactly what we chose. So we're just going to have to do it a different way and go out with this one.
One night Farmer Brown was taking the air, locked up the barnyard with the greatest of care. Down in the hen house, something stirred when he shouted, "Who's there?" This is what he heard: "There ain't nobody here but us chickens. There ain't nobody here at all. So calm yourself and stop that fuss. There ain't nobody here but us. We chickens trying to sleep, and you butt in and hobble, 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 hobble with your chin. There ain't nobody here but us chickens. There ain't nobody here at all. You're stomping around, shaking the ground. You're kicking up an awful dust. We chickens trying to sleep, and you butt in and hobble, hobble.